19th of August 2018. And Daniel is going to be reading today for us from Acts chapter 24. Basically, Paul's defense to Felix, I think. Let's get there. Okay, so go ahead.
Now, after 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, "Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace, and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us. For we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and was seized, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him." And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so.
So that's the accusation that's brought before Felix. And that's what happens when they added to what Paul was doing. He said that he was a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. So I don't know where they got that from.
Well, like many people confuse Jesus of Nazareth as being a Nazarene. Did he take a Nazarite vow or not? And that I know of, he did not take a Nazarite vow. But he was from Nazareth.
Right.
So that confusion may have come in that way. But we see that Tertullus's accusations are full of things that aren't recorded in the Bible and couldn't be recorded against a Christian. So, and because we know Paul was a Christian apostle, then we would deduct that he wouldn't have done those things.
Right. Yes, a lot of these are false accusations. With some truth mixed in there, right?
Can't hear you, brother.
Some of those are false accusations with some truth mixed in there.
Well, sure, like when an open-air preacher goes out to preach and a riot starts. Did he start the riot? Or the person that actually started the riot was the mob that gathered to try and suppress the preacher? So we can see that happening in modern times, where the homosexuals or whoever will rise up against the preacher and begin to ridicule him, heckle him, attack him. Other people feel liberty to do the same, and now you have a vicious mob who started this. That guy right there, and they all point to him, and that's just the way it is. So.
Right.
And his accusations about profaning the temple would be easy to prove, because the Jews would say, "Why are you bringing the Gentiles in the temple? You're profaning the temple." Right? So, did Paul do that? Yes, Paul brought non-Jewish people into the temple, just like Jesus did.
Paul was trying to remain blameless by shaving his head and trying to put himself under, not trying, he put himself under the law. To those that were under the law, mm-hmm. right? A couple chapters back, before they took him captive and all that stuff. So he was trying to work with them. He was trying to succumb to the law that was there, because he was around all those Gentiles. He had to cleanse himself, right? According to their view. And so he did it to not be a stumbling block to his brothers.
Here we see Tertullus again testify that Lysias, the chief captain, or the chief of police basically, the chief of the Roman guard there, came upon us and with great violence took Paul out of our presence, or out of our hands. And you go back to verse 26, the beginning of the letter to Felix was from Claudius Lysias. the chief administrator, executive, police chief, whatever you want to call him, greeted Felix and introduced Paul to him and the case to him.
Right.
But you go back another... Where is Lysias mentioned again? Verse 24 of chapter 22.
The chief captain, yeah.
The chief captain, that is Lysias there in verse 24. Same guy, right? Verse 27, the chief captain came, that would be Lysias. He's the one that got a little fearful when he figured out that Paul was a Roman citizen. And I'm gonna find. I found it earlier. I don't know if it's in chapter 22. I thought it was he was named before. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. I'll see if I can find it. Let's keep going. But Lysias is obviously the chief captain mentioned there in chapter 22.
Right, same guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same guy. Yep. He's the guy that's sending Paul. And Paul's showing up here in chapter 24 in front of
Felix.
The governor. In verse 9, last thing I'll say before we can proceed. And the Jews also assented, and they were confirming Tertullus's witness, saying that these things, the accusations against Paul, were true. So, what you think, you know, Christians, in looking at chapter 24 of the book of Acts, do Christians judge? Do Christians examine situations and judge things and think in a way, and this is what really Bob Enyart was encouraging me with, is that we think like a court. We think like a lawyer. Not to lie like the world's lawyers do, but to how would, if we were in court on charges like Diana and Edgar are, how would we defend ourselves to the judge, to the next judge, finally to the emperor, to the, if I made it all the way to Trump and Trump is, okay, I've got to pardon you or they're going to execute you for being a Christian, what would you say to Trump? What would your defense be against whatever charges they brought up against you? And so you need forensic evidence. You need to know how to argue logically and explain yourself and communicate all those kinds of things that God expects us to love Him with our minds. All of our heart, all of our strength, all of our mind, and all of our soul. So if we're loving God with our minds, we have to think things through and judge them properly in order to defend our position in a court of law. Because eventually we'll get to the court of courts, the judge of judges, who will examine all that stuff. And all the chaff will be burned up. So if it's not good, solid stuff, it's going to get burned up. Okay, anyway.
Ready? Mm-hmm. All right, verse 10. Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, "It is much as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city, nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all the things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to make a conscience without offense toward God and men. Now after many years I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me, or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council, unless it is for this one statement which I cried out standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day."
Okay, let's take a pause there. Did you want to speak, brother?
Yeah, one of the things, too, that he even says that they're falsely accusing me, and they don't even have proof. And one verse I wanted to point out in his defense was verse 15. And we have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And of course, this can also be found in John chapter 5, verse 29. Jesus said, before Paul said it, I'll read it real quick here. John chapter 5, verse 29 says, "And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And so Paul's just testifying what Jesus taught. Mm-hmm. Same thing, same Holy Spirit, obviously.
Right.
And I just wanted to point that out. And then I did have a question about verse 14. Are you reading the New King James today, Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. See, and that word, "but this is I confess unto thee, that after they which they call," the New King James says "sect," the King James says "heresy."
Right.
So I'm a little confused about that. Maybe we can try to get some clarification, or maybe it's the same meaning.
Well, obviously, I don't like that New King James translation. I think heresy is the better for that word. We could look it up, but sect is just like a part. So it's like a denomination.
Right.
I don't suppose the Lutherans and United Methodists are having problems with the Roman Catholics, which is my supposition. Oh, well, they're just Christians. They just don't understand the way we understand.
Right. And Paul was being accused of heresy, not being of a sect.
Right. And so heresy is a very serious charge, because a heretic, we know we're not supposed to have anything to do with a heretic. And a heretic is a divisive person. They teach, outlandish things that are not orthodox or believable according to the scriptures.
Right.
Not according to tradition, but according to scriptures. So, is that all you wanted to say about that, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I wanted to point out, going back to chapter 21, and starting in verse 21, Acts chapter 21, verse 21, "And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs or the law according to the Jews." Verse 22, "What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come." I'm going to skip down to verse 24. "Them take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walk orderly and keep the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, strangled from fornication." That's Acts chapter 15 at the council in Jerusalem. "Then Paul took them in, and the next day purified himself." So here the testimony he's given about purifying himself in the temple is true,
right,
according to scriptures. And then it goes on to say in verse 27 of chapter 21, "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him," that would be Turkey, modern day Turkey, "the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him." So he didn't stir up the people. The Jews of Turkey stirred up the people.
Mm-hmm.
"And they cried out, 'Men of Israel, help. This is a man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place," meaning the temple, "and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place," which was part of Tertullius' accusation against him. Right? So the accusation against him is that he polluted the temple and he stirred up strife. But actually, he had come in purified according to the tradition of the Jews and the law.
Right.
Shaved himself, 7 days of purification according to the law. And came into the temple, had not polluted the law, yet he did bring in Gentiles. He did bring in the Gentiles, right?
I don't know where it says that he did, but where he actually did versus their accusation.
Right here.
I thought he purified himself because he was with Gentiles. And so he needed to be purified along with these four others. And we don't know who they are. It doesn't specify.
Okay, I concede that. Verse 28, crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man. Okay, so their accusation wouldn't be true then about bringing the Gentiles into the temple?
It could be. It doesn't specify either way.
Verse 29, for they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple.
Supposed.
Yeah, so that wasn't true.
Right.
Okay. So I wanted to connect those chapters.
It could have been true.
Yeah, they just supposed it. It could have been, it may not have been, but it could have been as well. So, all right. So
I thought that was the whole idea of Solomon's porch, because Solomon's porch was where the Greeks could gather with the Jews, so they didn't have to go into the temple. They would be on the porch. But going back.
Now, which of the disciples that was with Paul, he was with Paul, he was a Gentile. Is that Timothy?
Timothy, who was half Gentile, half Jew.
Right, so if he's not pure
Jew,
he's not Jew.
Circumcised Timothy.
Right, circumcised Timothy according to law.
Right.
Verse 33, then the chief captain, that would be Lysias, came near and took him, commanded him to be bound with two chains, and demanded who he was and what he had done. Of course, different accusations at that time. Okay, so I just want to make that connection between the two chapters.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
And where are we in Acts 24?
Verse 22.
Yeah, verse 22.
Did Josh have anything he
wanted? Yeah, I'm sorry.
How does it work out? I realize we're not in a Jewish court right now in the story. But, like, because the word proof is brought up, right? Paul says there's no proof of these things.
Right.
Well, back then, there's no video recorders. There's no voice recorders. And so, like, we got the whole Martus thing. Maybe, yeah, there's some stamped document that records what happened at an official meeting. But do they really have such record for every event that exists? And so it's kind of like, to bring up proof or not is a kind of like a weak argument. And then when you got, you know, even Jesus quoting the Old Testament saying, you know, by the law every word shall be established by two or more witnesses.
Right.
And it sounds like there was definitely more than one person saying that they witnessed him do the accusation. And so how does that work out? Because especially then, maybe Paul had, I don't know, maybe didn't, but what if there was a group of witnesses that said it went this way and a group of witnesses is saying it goes some other way? You know, how does that work out with the whole every word shall be established sort of thing?
Well, I mean, just like we see with Jesus' court, when Jesus was being brought to trial before his crucifixion, that there were two or more witnesses that came against him, but their testimonies were confusing, they weren't consistent, and so that's where logic and good argumentation would come into effect, that the two or more witnesses was good then. It always has been good, it always will be good, no matter. The technological advancements, we think, are so important, we make as humankind, it's always going to be true. Now, obviously, if you have 10 witnesses and just one witness or two or three, the judge may be tempted to side with the larger the group, especially if their testimonies are all consistent. But if the larger group has inconsistent testimonies, now the judge is going to doubt the group and go with the two or more witnesses that have consistent good testimonies that line up with forensic evidence like letters. Obviously, Lysias sent a letter to Felix.
Right.
So there's a stamped document from an official, and the official has a higher authority than just the regular citizen. Paul has a higher authority as a Roman citizen and a Hebrew, a teacher of the law. He has all these things as part of his authority. So he has a lot of pull, right, with large groups of people and a lot of influence. But we see these Judaizers keep continually coming in to try and destroy his ministry and destroy his reputation and destroy him, ultimately.
I agree that there's stories that we've covered so already where, yeah, the group of accusers have inconsistencies, and like you pointed out, Jesus' story of his accusers had inconsistencies. But maybe I'm just forgetting. Is there mention of this group in this instance having inconsistencies?
Well, we saw one already. Didn't I point one out a minute ago? I mean, I tried to point out two things that Paul was accused of, and he raised up riots, and he didn't.
Right.
It was the Jews that was raising up the people to riot behavior.
But, right, how does the judge know that, though?
Well, it's a good possibility.
We have Scripture, we have the Bible.
Right.
The judge didn't, right, mm-hmm. have the book of Acts. He'd be like, well, back in chapter 15, Mr. Judaizer, I see that you were doing this.
Right.
Well, actually, he did have the book of Acts, because the author of the book of Acts was there to record all this.
Not just that, but the soldiers that would have accompanied him, those soldiers would have been there. They would have been some of these soldiers that arrested Paul in the first place. Remember, he sent, was it 200 soldiers he sent with Paul from Jerusalem to this court for Felix?
200
right,
soldiers,
so,
70 horsemen.
Yeah, so we got the letter from Claudius Lysias. Mm-hmm. That contains some information.
Right.
But even by that letter, it doesn't... It only starts at a certain point in time,
mm-hmm.
right? What he saw, what mm-hmm. he can say, hey, I witnessed this. And that point in time was not the beginning of the story, so he can't testify, hey, this is how the matter started. He came to the scene and Paul was about to be killed, so he can't testify.
Right, but he
that.
Got a lot of testimony from Paul. One thing that Paul testified to him about was that Paul was a Roman citizen. Why do you strike me? I'm a Roman citizen. It only, just because the Bible's not including all the information doesn't mean that Paul didn't have a very lengthy dialogue with Claudius Lysias at the time of his arrest. That he would have shared all that information. Well, I'm here purified in the temple 7 days according to the law of the Jews, and they've raised up a riot against me. And then he would have also talked to the people that were with Paul. Right, and then all the soldiers, as I was pointing out a moment ago, the soldiers that would have accompanied Paul at Lysias' direction, they would be there to testify as well, even though their testimony is not recorded in the Bible, doesn't mean it didn't happen. My supposition is that Felix would have investigated it far beyond the dialogue we hear between Tertullius and the judge and Paul and the judge. There have been lots more testimony given than just that.
The way Paul starts out, too, talking about 12 days since he went out to Jerusalem.
That was another thing. It was a recent event. It's not like some people tend to think it's been months or years since Paul had this riot, now he's arrested, he's traveling slowly. It's not even been a couple weeks since it happened.
So what did this, you mentioned the soldiers that were under the centurion, centurions.
Who were under the chief captains.
So what did they see that they could testify in this courtroom right here?
They would have seen the riot. How did the riot start? They would have heard the people's testimony. They would have heard from the people that were with Paul.
So they're not witnesses. They're just going based on what people were telling them.
I I can't absolutely tell you that they witnessed to Felix, that they were even a witness in this court. I'm supposing, because they're officers that would have been escorting Paul, and some of those officers would have been there at the riots, they would have been there to know that Lysias got concerned that he had arrested a Roman citizen and even beat him, right? And then all the details of what happened, you know, before that, in that, and then after that would have been part of the Roman soldiers' memory and testimony if they were asked to testify.
And Paul has a reputation as a Roman citizen and a Pharisee. He has a reputation already. And so I think that has something to play into it. And it does say that neither can they prove the things wherefore, whereof they now accuse me. I don't understand the proof part either, because like I said, there was no video recorders or voice recorders back then. But he's saying there is no proof for what they're saying. And as he testifies more, that even in verse 19 it says, who ought to have been here before thee and object, and if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. So, I mean, he's...
That sounds important. Where is that?
It's in verses 19 and 20. And it says, verse 21, except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. So in other words, had he not brought out the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he may not even be standing there today. That's what Paul's saying there. So there definitely was guards there then.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up earlier too.
I'm a Pharisee, and I believe in a resurrection, and in came this harsh division, and made the Lysias said, get that guy out of there before they fall into pieces.
Sure.
And so that they witnessed, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's chapter 23, verse 6. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And that started the dispute.
That's where
the discussion became a dissension.
Division.
And verse 9 says, and there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, Lysias, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, and commanded the soldier to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him back to the castle.
Which is part of the testimony that was brought before Felix.
Yes.
That would be the truthful part.
that
Tertullus gave to Felix.
Right.
Maybe I'm not following what you just said, because there's details there, but sounds like you're saying that the story starts when Paul said, I'm being judged for my belief in the resurrection of the dead?
Yeah, he says, I wouldn't even be here. He even says it right here in verse 20. Or else let these sing here. Verse 21. Except it be for this one voice, in other words, he's talking about himself, that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day.
That's what I just read from verse 6 of chapter.
But why was he in that room? He was in trouble
in the first
already.
Place because he was already accused of being a Nazarene, the sect of the Nazarenes, and
No. I
being falsely accused by the ones from Turkey or Asia, which created that.
And so, regarding the soldiers being witness in our current chapter, does that really do very much when they weren't witnessing the beginning of the story? Why was he in trouble with the Jews to begin with? They arrived to the scene way into the story, when Paul is about to be killed, mm-hmm. as supposedly as the result of breaking the Jewish law.
Well, think of it like this: let's say there's a small riot in a neighborhood, and the police go in, they start arresting people. And when they arrest people, they ask questions, right? And when you think of Roman soldiers, you just think of warfare. You don't think of police, but they were in a martial state.
Okay.
Israel was in a martial state. They were being, inhabited. That's not the right word. Military occupation.
Occupation.
Military occupation, where martial law or military law is established, and so they act as a police force. And when they do so, they go in, and there's a problem. They go in and ask questions like any detective would do to find out what's going on, thus establishing by the two or more witnesses, establishing what happened.
Right.
So
they could be wrong, but it's the best they had in those days.
Right. And it's still good to today. And that was the point I was making earlier, was even no matter how far advanced our technology goes with video cameras and all that stuff, unless you have the other two or more witnesses, you can't really establish capital law anyway. So
and Paul is pointing out the inconsistencies in their testimony, which could be backed up by... He's only pointing to the facts that
verse 19, the one that you were
21,
talking
yeah.
about?
Verses 19 through 21, he's pointing out the inconsistencies of their false accusations and testimonies, and then pointing to the fact that at this time... Where
can you tell me, just for clarity, what inconsistency did he point out?
The part that they had out against him, they should have been here before thee already, and he doesn't say already, but, and object if they had aught against me, or else let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. So he's, right now, what Paul's pointing to is the part where he stood before the council, where he did have soldier eyewitnesses, Roman soldier eyewitnesses, and ear witnesses too, as to what actually happened. And then he talks about from verse 23, verse 6, where he
said... Well, they're not... So, I mean, I'm just trying to take, you know, both views to understand the whole thing better. That they weren't in the temple when the soldiers were there witnessing.
Yeah.
This whole thing is about what was done in the temple.
Right.
What was done long, or what was done before that.
Yeah. I think it's
soldier witness account. And so,
right.
I'm still confused or not clear about what inconsistency did Paul point out. You mentioned verse 19, how he said they ought to. Well, just because they ought to have been doesn't mean that they're being inconsistent. I mean, maybe they couldn't afford to. Maybe they died. Maybe whatever. But they had their government or leaders take over.
Well, if you go back to...
In the pursuit of justice.
If you go back to the original part of it where Paul was taken out of the temple, he was removed from the temple.
And they were going to stone him.
Right. At that point in time, that's when the soldiers stepped in. The soldiers wouldn't have been in the temple, obviously, because they would have defiled the temple. But the soldiers definitely seen what was going on, and then that's when the soldiers came in. And as you can see here, what's his name? Tertullus? Paul is pointing out the fact that, hey, I'm not... He's accusing me of something that I'm not originally being accused of. I just believed in the resurrection. I just proclaimed the resurrection. Why isn't he talking about that part? Because that's the part... I think that's why Paul points that out, because he's realizing the same thing that you're realizing. That... What proof, right? He's probably seeing this, and that's why he's pointing out what he knew that they saw. The soldiers, that is. Because that's what you're going by. You can only go by... I think that once Paul held to his Roman citizenship, that he was going to get the respect over the Jews too, as well.
Okay.
That's a really important point to make.
So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe these Jews? Or are you going to believe me? I'm a Roman citizen.
And a Jew.
Say those things, but you can kind of derive that from the
maybe
story.
A wink.
Yeah. Maybe a secret handshake.
Buzz, buzz.
Buzz, buzz. Anyway. Right. So, anyways. Yeah, that's, I would, yeah.
Thank you for talking about that. I don't have my mind completely wrapped around it, but I think we can move on. We've spent a lot of time on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
First thing on the
22. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceeding and said, "When Lysia the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix wanted to do the Jews a favor, let fall Paul bound.
So then it's going to be like a break in the story into chapter 25, but
yeah,
a couple of things that I pick up there in verse 22, having a more perfect knowledge of the way. So apparently, you know, the way is, they are of the sect of the way, the follower of Jesus the Christ from Nazareth, you know, He's the way, the truth, and the life. So having a more complete knowledge or perfect knowledge of Jesus, he trembled at that idea that Jesus would have died for him on the cross. So it doesn't tell you all that Jesus shared, or excuse me, that Paul shared the gospel of faith in Christ with Felix. But that one statement, he knew the way more perfectly, his knowledge was increased, can tell you all that information. Now, we don't have to go into the whole gospel presentation that Paul would have given Felix to know that, but that one statement summarizes that idea. Would you agree?
What one statement? Sorry, my mind is not working.
No, chapter 22. Excuse me, verse 22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, meaning the way of Christ, a more complete or more perfect knowledge of it, better understanding of the gospel, what'd he do? He trembled at the idea of it. So, and they say it there? Or am I confusing something? He deferred then. Where does it say he trembled?
Verse 25.
Verse 25?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so as he continued his reasoning, this is what, when he brought his wife Drusilla. Sorry, I jumped ahead. So I want to make that point about verse 22, that Paul shared the gospel with him of Christ. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul. Wait. And when Lysias the chief captain shall come down. So he subpoenaed the chief captain. This is why appealing to the idea that the soldiers would have given their testimony. Okay, so Paul testified, maybe Felix heard from a few of the soldiers that were escorting him. You know what? I need to hear from the chief guy who sent this letter. I want to hear from that guy. So he subpoenaed him to come to court.
Oh.
And he would hear the matter later, right? After Lysias got there.
Yep.
That's kind of fill in the blanks, right? So he commanded centurion to keep Paul, let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. Now, I got confused by that. Can you read verse 23 again, please? Yes.
So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him.
Yeah, that's the way I interpreted it too, but I guess it could be interpreted the other way. But I don't know why, if he had liberty, why he should be prevented from seeing his friends, right?
Yeah, he wasn't permitted forbidden. He was permitted.
Permitted to see them, okay.
They would be able to minister unto him, right?
Yeah. So that's an important point, and you'll see later on in the chapter, in verse 27, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix. This is 2 years later. So for 2 years, Paul had liberty to do what? To minister, to preach with his friends. It would be like me coming to Nashville after having been arrested, and I got 2 years. I'm under house arrest, but I have all kinds of liberty. I can go do what I want, hang out with you guys, witness, preach, pray, do whatever I want for a couple years, and then Porcius shows up. Porky.
Gospel airplanes out the window?
Yep. Banners flying out the window. Okay. Now, I thought it was important that Felix's wife, Drusilla, was a Jewess. She understood Jewish tradition, and she would have understood the law. And he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ.
Yep.
So, I imagine that Drusilla would have confirmed these things are so according to the law. We know that Christ fulfilled the law, so having fulfilled the law and being the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world, then that should make him tremble. That should make anybody tremble that's honest enough to hear it.
Yeah, and then you can see he ignores, I believe the trembled is the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and he ignores that. Because it says that it, go away.
Yeah.
When I have a convenient season. Right. Convenient? Meaning he probably wanted to continue in his sinful behaviors he was in.
I thought verse 26 was interesting that he hoped that he would get some money, either a bribe or some kind of fine, to have a reason to let Paul go and not send him on to Rome.
Right. So, I mean, he gets convicted. That trembled. Felix trembled.
Mm-hmm.
And his reply to the gospel was, this is, I need him to come back when it's more convenient for me. So I don't know, it doesn't really specify what he was doing there, but as you can see, he's not accepting or receiving the gospel here. He's getting trembled, he's getting convicted, and he's probably being almost persuaded, right? We can see that here, but...
Well, it seems like money was on his mind.
Yep. Mind on his money and money on his mind.
I was thinking the same thing.
Because he had him come back. Do you think Paul just then talked about the weather?
No.
Okay.
They might have talked about the weather a little bit.
Right, but not just talked about the weather.
Right.
So, that's a lure in this life, right?
Yep. So it doesn't say that's not to say that Felix never got... became a Christian. At this point in time, he didn't.
Right.
He was definitely ignoring it.
He's the one that calls Paul mad for his much studying has made thee mad. That's Felix.
That verse, chapter 26, I think that is. Or something.
It's coming soon.
It's coming soon.
It says it
to a chapter near you.
What chapter is it?
When he's talking Festus. To King Agrippa, when Paul's talking to King Agrippa. Felix interrupts.
Yeah, you're right. Chapter 26.
It's definitely in chapter 26. I think you're confusing Felix with Festus.
Oh, yeah, I think
Festus
you're right.
Is.
It all sounds similar.
He went to Felix, to Festus, to Agrippa.
Okay, I think you're right.
Thank you for making me look good.
Porky Festus.
Porky Festus, right.
Okay.
Porcius. I wonder what that means.
Who obviously was witness to and did not receive the gospel.
He probably went like Big Man Barbecue.
Bye.
Okay. Any other conclusions we should make? I guess I would wrap it up with this, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 to 5, where it talks about, do you not know the saints will judge the world? So here, Paul's come to trial. He's prepared himself in the spirit and word and deed and to give an answer. And so we should as well. As Christians, we should prepare ourselves spiritually, naturally, to orate our faith or verbalize our faith to even the highest authorities. So, I praise God. I've been given a few times. I've been given a chance to speak to pretty high authorities, but it's usually after I've been arrested. And so, you have to kind of count that cost. You know, you want to speak to a judge of an area, a district judge. That's a pretty high judge. Well, if you want to speak to him or three judges, a panel of three judges. I've had a few opportunities to our court cases, not me personally, but the case itself, speak to the judges. You have to go through a trial and endure through that in order to get that opportunity.
So, because you would think, or at least hope, that the judges are decent enough in the worldview to not be going down to the honky tonk.
Right.
So if you're going to get them, you got to get them somewhere else.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You just there'd be a higher class
standard. Yeah.
Higher standard. They would have their bourbon at home on ice, not out at the honky tonk, getting in trouble. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Yeah, judge righteously, amen. So examine yourselves first, ourselves first, amen, and then as the Lord leads us.
Yes,
thank you. Praise God.
What was the link?